Usually when you look at a blueprint, it's all straight lines and exact measurements.
Right.
Like you look at a schematic for a suspension bridge and it tells you exactly how much weight the high tensile steel can hold before it snaps.
Yeah, it's very mathematical.
Exactly. It's binary, it's structural, it's cold.
Well, it's designed specifically to remove all the
That's
mystery,
right.
right? I mean, a good blueprint leaves absolutely no room for interpretation because ambiguity in engineering usually leads to a collapse.
Right. Nobody wants an ambiguous bridge. But imagine if someone handed you a blueprint, and instead of steel girders and load-bearing walls, it was mapping out the internal architecture of a human being.
Which is already complex enough.
Seriously. But not just an average human being
Or
either, a
if.
highly specific, radically disruptive archetype. Suddenly, you're looking at this schematic where things like mystical visions are sitting right next to, financial mastery.
Yeah, the standard measurements just completely fly out the window at that point.
They really do. So for today's deep dive, we are opening up a really fascinating draft document. It's called the CAA L7 Master Profile, Draft Version 0.1.
It's a very technical title for something so, well, human.
It really is. What this text actually is a working Mattiger profile designed to basically define, recognize, and activate a very specific type of outlier that they call the L7 Change Angel.
Right.
And it outlines everything. I mean, from their core identity and their natural gifts, all the way down to how they handle capital. And crucially, their deepest human fragilities.
That fragility part is key. We are definitely stepping way outside the standard architecture of human psychology
Oh,
today
for sure.
because the document we're exploring is attempting to codify something that usually completely resists codification.
Yeah, reading through the initial breakdown of their identity, the best way I can describe this persona is it's like a bizarre cross between a Silicon Valley tech disruptor and a mystical spiritual teacher.
Huh, yeah. And that tension between those two worlds is really the entire engine of this profile.
How so?
Well, you have the rapid iteration, the massive scale, the systemic disruption of the tech world, but it's married entirely to this profound heart-centered depth of a wisdom tradition.
Which you don't usually see together.
No, never. Usually society forces you to pick one of those lanes. You are either the ruthless innovator building the future, or you are the ascetic monk meditating on the mountain.
Right, you can't be both.
Exactly. But this document argues that the change angel is the direct fusion of both.
I do have to push back a little bit right out of the gate, though,
Okay, go for it.
because the language in this text is incredibly bold. I mean, maybe even a little concerning to some
That's
people.
intense, yeah.
The text literally has this persona declaring, "I am a great one." And it says they hold pieces of the heavenly puzzle.
Right.
For anyone listening, I mean, if someone walks up to you at a dinner party, introduces themselves as a great one, your immediate instinct is going to be that this person is completely unhinged.
Or drowning in narcissism, yeah.
Exactly. How does the document ground these massive, like borderline megalomaniacal statements?
It is a very fair reaction. And honestly, if you isolate that phrase, it totally sounds like an ego trip.
Right.
But the mechanism of that greatness is what matters here. We really have to look at the master definition the text provides.
Okay.
When they claim that greatness, it isn't a claim of superiority over other people. It is actually a claim of immense, almost crushing responsibility.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, think of it less like a king sitting on a pedestal and more like a massive industrial water pipe.
A water pipe.
Stay with me here. A massive pipe doesn't boast about how wide it is just to feel superior to a garden hose, right?
Right, I guess not.
Its width is dictated purely by the sheer volume of water it's required to move. The text explicitly labels these individuals as high-performance action takers.
Okay.
They are multi-gifted, they are truth-tellers, and they are innovators. The greatness is defined entirely by the scale of the contribution flowing through them. It's not about their internal state of self-importance.
Ah, okay. So it's not about hoarding the greatness. It's about being a conduit for something much larger.
Exactly. If you claim to hold a piece of the heavenly puzzle, as the text frames it, your job isn't to put that puzzle piece in a glass case and demand people worship it.
Which is what a narcissist would do.
Right. Your operational mandate is to actually find the other people holding the connecting pieces and put them together so the picture actually makes sense for everyone else.
That makes a lot more sense. Because the text points out that these individuals are frequently operating way outside traditional systems, like baseline assumptions and social norms.
Oh, way outside.
Yeah, it says they receive these downloads of visions that might initially seem completely out there to conventional environments.
And that concept of the download is absolutely critical to understanding their internal mechanics.
Because it sounds a bit sci-fi.
It does, but think about it this way. Every major leap forward in human history, whether it's the germ theory of disease or the internet or human rights, it all started as a download or a sudden realization in someone's brain that seemed completely crazy to the status quo at the time.
Right, like washing your hands before surgery, people thought that was insane.
Exactly. The L7 Change Angel is carrying ideas, questions, and solutions that are geographically and chronologically far ahead of their present environment.
Wow.
They are deeply, almost physically restless with the way things are because they can vividly perceive the architecture of what comes next.
But that creates an incredibly intense friction.
A right? Huge friction.
Because if you have this relentless nonconformity, if you're constantly perceiving these vast possibilities that literally everyone around you thinks are impossible or crazy,
mm-hmm.
doesn't that make you incredibly isolated?
Oh, absolutely.
Reading this, it really sounds like having a 5G mind in a dial-up world. That is bound to cause some massive connection errors in your daily life.
That 5G analogy works so perfectly to describe the friction, but there is one major caveat that makes this experience so painful for them.
What's that?
Well, a 5G phone actually knows it's an advanced piece of technology. It knows the network is the problem.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The yeah. human being experiencing these downloads usually just thinks they are fundamentally broken.
Nothing heartbreaking.
It is. And this brings us to what might be the most validating section of this entire blueprint, which is the breakdown of the human fragilities.
Yeah, this was the part that actually really caught me off guard.
That's surprising, really.
Totally. Because you read all this high-flying language about being a great one and a truth teller.
Yeah.
And you just expect the rest of the text to maintain this bulletproof superhero narrative.
Right. No weaknesses allowed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it doesn't do that at all. It takes a hard left turn into some really dark, vulnerable territory.
It absolutely refuses to ignore the collateral damage of being an outlier.
Yeah.
The document dives really deeply into the paradox that extraordinary capacities coexist with deep, sometimes completely debilitating vulnerabilities.
Like what kind of vulnerabilities?
Well, it states that these change angels have usually experienced being deeply misunderstood, rejected, mislabeled, or just regarded as the ultimate oddball within their family or their school or their corporate community.
You know, if you're listening to this deep dive right now, and you've always been the black sheep of your family or the person in the boardroom who asks the question that makes everyone else just roll their eyes. This document essentially codifies that exact experience.
Yes.
The text actually says they carry real wounds associated with past failures, systemic rejection, or outright abandonment.
Deep wounds.
It talks about them experiencing severe self-doubt, internal conflicts, and having periods of withdrawal where they literally hide from the limelight.
And they hide because the sheer weight of being that sensitive to future possibilities while being constantly battered by present realities, it just forces them into a protective retreat.
It's survival.
Exactly. But notice the structural choice the authors made here. These fragilities aren't listed in an appendix somewhere at the back.
Right.
They aren't treated as a disease to be cured before the person can finally do their real work. The text explicitly states that these experiences form part of the change angel material and therefore belong within the master profile.
So it's feature, not a bug.
Precisely.
It's not saying you are a change angel despite your deep emotional wounds and your weirdness.
Yeah.
It's saying you are a change angel, including all of that.
Yes.
But why? I mean, why are the wounds necessary for the blueprint?
Because the friction itself is the diagnostic tool.
Okay, unpack that.
So if your fundamental nature is designed to disrupt limiting institutions and challenge what the text calls poverty consciousness, the world is going to push back hard.
Of course.
The rejection isn't proof that your ideas are bad. The rejection is the systemic friction that proves you are doing exactly what you were designed to do. Right. A system that relies on conformity will always try to expel an anomaly. Understanding that reframes their entire history of trauma.
That is a massive paradigm shift. But okay, so if someone is stuck in that deep isolation, carrying all these wounds from being rejected, and currently hiding their 5G mind from the dial-up world around them, how do they actually survive, let alone change the world?
Yeah, that's the big question.
What is the actual mechanism to break out of that isolation without just losing their edge and, I don't know, assimilating?
This is where the document shifts from a static profile into the active phase, which it calls the activation journey.
Okay.
The entire purpose of this journey is to bridge the gap between being an isolated, wounded genius and achieving exponential real-world impact.
So what's step one?
The very first step requires a radical shift in perspective. Basically, they have to stop hiding. But practically, that starts with a process the text calls disentangling.
Disentangling. I mean, that sounds clean on paper, but operationally, what does that actually mean? Because you can't just snap your fingers and say, boom, I am activated.
Oh, no, it's definitely not clean. Operationally, it means a ruthless, often deeply painful audit of your own life.
Oh, man.
Yeah. They must actively extract themselves from relationships, habits, jobs, and environments that suppress their gifts or their intended contribution.
That's intense.
It is. If you are a change angel working in a corporate structure that values compliance over innovation, you have to leave. If you are surrounded by people who mock your visionary ideas, you have to cut the cord.
That sounds terrifying. You're telling someone who already feels like an isolated oddball that their very first step is to sever the few connections they actually have just because those connections are built on conformity.
It is absolutely terrifying, which is exactly why so many just stay in hiding forever.
Right.
But the extraction is mathematically necessary for the next phase. You cannot build a new paradigm while you are actively exhausting all your energy just surviving in the old one.
Because it just drains you.
Entirely. And the mission isn't a solo endeavor anyway. The activation journey requires them to move from hiding to collaborating.
Oh, collaborating with who?
With each other. Their ultimate mandate is to locate, activate, teach, and unleash other change angels.
So it's a network effect.
Exactly.
They aren't trying to carry the weight of saving the entire world on their own shoulders. They are trying to find the other people holding the other pieces of the heavenly puzzle we talked about earlier.
Yes. The text is very focused on reaching a critical mass.
Okay.
The underlying logic is that one activated change angel is just a disruptor. But a network of them, collaborating with high performance and high consciousness, that creates an unstoppable systemic shift.
That makes sense.
They take those abstract mystical downloads and they translate them into tangible innovations. Things like new software, new educational paradigms, new agricultural systems.
And the vision they are aiming for is huge. I mean, the document uses terms that sound incredibly esoteric.
Very lofty language, yeah.
Yeah. It talks about humanity experiencing heaven here on Earth. It talks about shifting humanity from poverty consciousness to abundance consciousness and replacing limiting institutions with liberating environments.
Right.
But let's ground that a bit. What do those terms actually mean in the context of this blueprint? Because poverty consciousness sounds like something you'd hear at a weekend yoga retreat, not in a high-performance business manual.
I know it sounds a bit woo-woo, but in this specific framework, poverty consciousness isn't just about the balance in your bank account.
Okay, what is it?
It is the fundamental underlying operating system of the modern world. It rules the deep belief in the zero-sum game.
Oh, like if I win, you have to lose.
Exactly. The idea that resources, love, power, and success are strictly finite. It is a mentality driven entirely by fear and scarcity.
So abundance consciousness is the counter-programming to that.
Yes.
It is the realization that human ingenuity and spiritual connection can literally generate new resources rather than everyone just violently fighting over the existing pie.
Exactly that. It is a generative mindset. And when the text talks about heaven here on earth, it is not talking about floating on clouds, playing harps after you die.
Good to know.
Yeah, it is a deeply pragmatic mandate. It means building physical, earthly environments like companies, communities, schools, where human potential isn't crushed by bureaucracy or fear, but is actively nurtured to flourish.
Which actually brings us to a section that I found really fascinating, because it forces a collision between two worlds that usually absolutely hate each other.
Oh, the financial section.
Yes. Usually when we read profiles of highly spiritual, heart-centered people who are focused on planetary restoration and elevating global consciousness.
They hate money.
They have a massive aversion to it. Business is viewed as a necessary evil. Capitalism is the ultimate enemy. And poverty is almost romanticized as a sign of purity.
Right. The starving artist or the broke saint archetype.
Exactly. But this document leads heavily and unapologetically into financial mastery. How do they reconcile that tension?
It is arguably the most sophisticated mechanism in the entire profile, honestly, because it completely dismantles that old, tired dichotomy.
How so?
In this framework, rejecting wealth isn't seen as a badge of spiritual purity at all. It is actually seen as a form of selfishness.
Wait, selfishness? Explain that. How is refusing money selfish?
Because refusing resources starves the mission of the oxygen it needs to survive.
Oh.
Think about it. If your goal is to replace a massive, entrenched, limiting global institution, you cannot do that with just good vibes and a bake sale.
That's a very fair point.
You need immense capital. Poverty consciousness cannot fund global restoration. Wealth, power, and influence are viewed strictly as tools, but they are absolutely necessary tools.
Okay, I see that. It's wealth as a metric of how much value you are actively circulating in the world, not just wealth for the sake of hoarding it in some offshore account.
Exactly.
The text explicitly says they generate this wealth through beneficial contribution and then reinvest it into organizations and innovations that increase that positive impact.
Mm-hmm.
But let's be real for a second. Money corrupts. Power corrupts.
Yeah.
That is basically the oldest story in human history.
Undeniably.
So what is the mechanism that keeps this high-performance pursuit of wealth from just turning them into another greedy corporate entity?
That is exactly where the document implements a strict operational firewall, which it refers to as the royal standards and values.
Royal standards.
Yeah.
It implies this sense of, I don't know, earned nobility.
Right.
It's not about bloodlines. It's about a standard of behavior that you hold yourself to completely, regardless of what the rest of the market is doing.
And these standards aren't just inspirational buzzwords painted on a wall. They function as actual causal guardrails.
What are they?
Well, the source material identifies honesty, integrity, precision, fun, generosity, and commitment among these core standards.
I really want to look closely at two of those sitting right next to each other. Precision and fun.
It's a great pairing.
It is a wild combination, because usually highly precise people are miserable perfectionists, and people focused on fun are kind of sloppy.
But think about how they operate together causally in this framework.
Okay.
If you have extreme precision without fun, you inevitably develop that martyr complex that burns out so many world changers. You just become bitter and rigid.
Totally.
But if you have fun without precision, you're just a hobbyist. You aren't actually shifting paradigms. You're just playing around.
That makes perfect sense.
Right. The precision ensures the massive visions actually execute in reality, while the fun ensures that Change Angel doesn't just destroy their own soul in the process.
And then the Honesty Integrity Act is the software firewalls against that financial corruption we talked about.
Exactly.
If you are fundamentally committed to honesty, you literally can't exploit your supply chain or lie to your consumers just to increase your profit margin. It breaks the code.
It all ties back to their overall design for living.
Yeah.
The L7 Change Angel absolutely refuses to sacrifice themselves on the altar of their cause.
Wow. That's rare for a world saver archetype.
Extremely rare. The text states their goal is to integrate health, relationships, wealth, lifestyle, and vocation into one flourishing expression. They are not meant to be tortured saviors.
I love that.
They are meant to live a visibly flourishing life that is completely aligned with their natural gifts.
So just bringing this all together, we've walked through this incredibly complex blueprint today.
You really have.
We've explored the mystical downloads, the deep wounds of isolation, the brutal necessity of disentangling, and those operational guardrails of their financial mastery.
It's a lot to process.
It is. And the ultimate vision here is this exponential chain reaction activated change angels, finding each other, building new systems, elevating consciousness, and ultimately restoring the natural world.
A massive undertaking.
Huge. But if you are listening to this right now, why does this highly specific draft document matter to your life?
It matters because this profile essentially acts as a mirror. It forces you to reevaluate your own history. It asks you to look at the parts of yourself that you have likely spent your entire life labeling as liabilities or defects.
It challenges you to look at your own oddball traits.
Yes.
Your extreme sensitivities, your complete inability to just go along with the corporate drone mentality, those disruptive ideas that make you feel like that 5G mind in a dial-up world.
Exactly.
It begs you to stop viewing those traits as flaws that need to be fixed or medicated or just suppressed into conformity.
Because it reclassifies those exact traits as the necessary puzzle pieces that you are obligated to circulate for the benefit of others.
But the entire premise relies on visibility.
Right.
The Change Angel Declaration is, at its core, a profound refusal to hide, saying, I am here, I am awake, I have these gifts.
But that creates a really intense paradox, doesn't it?
How so?
Well, we know that these people naturally operate outside traditional systems, right?
Right.
And we know they carry this deep, wounded history of hiding from the limelight because they've been rejected so many times in the past.
Yeah, they retreat.
The camouflage is a highly effective survival mechanism. When you are surrounded by dial-up, pretending to be a dial-up modem keeps you safe from attack.
Right. It's safe. But if you are one of these people, and the entire mission relies on locating and collaborating with other change angels to build this critical mass, how do you actually recognize each other out in the wild?
That is the million-dollar question.
Because if you've spent your entire life mastering the art of masking your human fragilities just to fit in at the office or at the family dinner table, pretending you aren't an oddball, pretending you don't perceive these massive future possibilities, are you inadvertently self-sabotaging the mission?
Oof.
By hiding all your pracs, are you actually hiding the exact light that the other change angels are desperately looking for to know they aren't alone?
It is the ultimate catch-22. The armor that kept you safe in the old paradigm is the exact thing preventing you from being found by the builders of the new one.
Think back to that blueprint we talked about at the very beginning. If you cover up the strange, non-traditional, mystical parts of your schematic just to look like a standard, load-bearing bridge, well, no one will ever know you were actually designed to fly. Take a hard look at your own blueprint today, eyeball traits and all. We'll catch you next time on The Deep Dive.